Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Kurt Palka. So tell us about your latest novel, Kurt, which was released this past summer. You've used the protagonist's name or description as a title for some of your earlier novels. Why did you change your policy this time? What's the significance of the title, The Hour of the Fox?
Well, The Hour of the Fox, it's an atmospheric sort of a notion in that where she lives. I shouldn't give that away, but the fox plays a certain role, also a certain symbolic role in that the fox is a female fox with two young ones, and so it plays a role, a marginal role, but somehow still it's there, and it plays a role.
Well, I liked the title, and so I thought, you know, people might be interested in how you chose that and the fox.
It's just got away from the character itself, but sort of went more into the mood or a subjective kind of suggestion, and it's there.
Well, we associate Mother Fox with being a good mother, and that is also one of the sort of underlying things.
Exactly, it's an underlying thing because that is her, that is really her inner cross that she's bearing here in this story and that she needs to deal with and subtly sort of finds a way.
Okay, so you've said that this is a story about courage, that Margaret, the protagonist, has a quiet, sustained courage to hang in and endure in the face of adversities that seem all but overwhelming. How do you make Margaret and those around her come to life as individuals? You know, not representing something, and believable characters.
Yes, I think that's the main job of the writer when you're dealing with a character-driven story rather than a plot-driven story. And so, you know, and I think of this to sort of describe this in part of that on the website somewhere. And I say that, in fact, you need to know every single thing about your character. Once you've created that person, you need to find out, you know, who taught her, what did she learn, where did she learn the first kindness or the first rebuke, what is it, you know, you got to go back to her, you know, youth really, to, you know, when she was 4, 5, 6 years old. And so, and then what came after, and how did she deal with certain problems and situations? What shaped her, you know, how did she overcome those situations? So, you know, and I really do this, you know, once you create a character, you need to live with that character. Well, and I do, the way I sit with you now, I sit with my character, in fact, and have coffee, and I say, tell me about yourself. You know, tell me. And so you learn, you know, an emotional side of that person that's it. That's the story, really. That becomes the story. Mm-hmm. So that's how I create my characters. Okay. I really have them tell me about themselves rather than you know, myself creating them somehow.
Yes, I understand what you're getting at. So I think you may describe your stories as character-driven, but the plot of The Hour of the Fox is actually important too. It's quite a complicated plot.
Yeah.
So what does a good plot contribute to the novel?
A good plot is, you know, good plot creates a different kind of conflict. And as we said before, you know, without conflict, you know, every moment in life is, in fact, some minor conflict as we live it, our lives, you know. So that, and I believe that as the moment the reader doesn't sort of see a foreshadowing of conflict, you know, the story stops. So that conflict needs to be foreshadowed and has to be built and lived. So in this case here, it's not only her inner conflict, but it's also outer conflict. What happens as she goes there, you know, the horrific story that happens and she decides she to involve herself in and deal with, that drives that part forward. The reader somehow wants to know not only, you know, how does she feel about this and what, but he also needs to know in a fairly, you know, basic sense, what happens next? You know, what's next? Mm-hmm. That's very, very important, I think, anyway. So the plot is there. And so is the, you know, her person, her character, as she deals with that plot.
Yes, and the character is built up over time, whereas
yes.
the plot is particularly important in the part of the story which is in the present, right?
Right, that's right. Yeah, mm. yeah. The character reaches back to her. The character reaches back to her, you know, youth really, and shows her where she came from.
Right. So, Clara's story is mainly set in Europe, and Isabel, the piano maker, comes to Nova Scotia from France.
Yeah.
But now you've written about a woman who, though she studied in France for a while, has very strong Canadian roots.
Yes.
So, you did touch on this earlier, but do these women, in spite of their different backgrounds, have characteristics in common that made you want to write about them?
Yeah, a certain kind of the baseline of a person that interests me would be a person who is able to take responsibility for their own lives.
Mm.
They certainly can do that. And it's, you know, to take responsibility for who I am. In fact, the person I am today is the person I became because of decisions I made yesterday. And that is something they accept and know. And so that they are accountable and responsible. That's the first thing they would share in common, because that would be the kind of person I like to explore and spend time with. And then, you know, go from there. So they bring to that an ability to have that sustained courage, mm-hmm. which comes from that spot, comes from that inner spot to, in fact, accept the fact this is life and we're here now. So how do we live it? That's the question. And how do we deal with it? And how do we make it go? And they share that in common.
They do. They also share their gender.
Yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
Maybe a man would be courageous in a different way.
Very much so. And one day I'll do that. Mind you, there's always a man in there, in all the stories, in Clara
is
her husband,
yeah.
And they all have different kind of courage. I mean, her husband goes off to war. That's what they did in those days, and the women stayed home. So I really began to think about that actually as heroes of a different kind, because they could not go off to war and, you know, burn off whatever had to be burned off. They had to stay home and look after life tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how about reading to us now from The Hour of the Fox?
Hour of the Fox. Okay. Well, so Margaret in the story, Margaret Bradley is the protagonist, and Andrew is her son, and the other person that's really important in the story is her lifelong friend in Nova Scotia, on the shore, Aileen.
Right.
And she spends time with her in the story.
Right.
That night, she slept on the couch in the living room at the main house. She got ready in the bathroom and in their bedroom, gathered pillow and duvet off the bed and dragged them to the living room. She found the nightgown and put it on and crawled into the nest. Light from passing cars brushed the ceiling. Once in the night, she thought she heard the telephone and she stumbled to it, thinking it might be Andrew. But it was only the dial tone and the receiver, cold and heavy in her hand. Later in a dream, she saw him on a canvas stretcher in the desert and she was his nurse to make him well again, except that she could only occasionally glance at him through the heat shimmer, because she had to go back to counting grains of sand from one hand into the other, so many grains of sand. When she finally walked over to the stretcher, she had exactly the same number of grains of sand in each hand, and that seemed important. She meant to tell him, but he was gone, and there was only the empty stretcher. "Dear Margaret," Aileen had said to her not that long ago, "he was a good boy and he knew what he wanted, and that's exactly what he did. Stop questioning him and yourself. Let him go. He would want you to." They were sitting in Aileen's living room in Sweetbury, Nova Scotia, and the sun was going down red. Red on Gull Rock and red upon the tips of the tallest trees in her father's little forest, the cedars and the pines. She and Aileen had been friends and neighbors in Sweetberry all their lives, and that long weekend she'd flown there simply for Aileen's strength and kindness and for help with her own thinking, which was like wandering in a dark maze with no way out. It was several months after Andrew had been killed and his coffin had come home empty, and eventually she found the strength to tell Jack face to face that she was hoping he would understand and that she believed she still loved him, but that she could not live with him right now. Rather than give her strength, being with him actually weakened and distracted her from this, she said, from what she needed to do now, from finding her way back to herself. If it was all right with him, she would be moving out of the main house for a while into the cottage at the bottom of the garden to be alone. This had been one morning in the hallway and the light from the open bathroom door, and Jack had stood looking at her, so very careful with her now.
Thank you, Kurt.
Okay.
Many thanks to Kurt Palker for introducing us to the characters in his latest novel and telling us about his previous work. So where can our listeners buy your books, Kurt?
Just about anywhere, I would think. Not in all the bookstores. Mm-hmm. Especially around here, we have some wonderful little like cultural treasures bookstores.
Furby's,
and we have Lighthouse Books, and we have Let's Talk Books, and so forth. So all everywhere there, and of course online, and
okay.
It's also available as an e-book and Of the Fox as an audiobook.
Yes.
First time here, interesting experience. The first time they produce an audiobook, and then.
Have you listened to it?
I tried to listen samples, and it's a good experience. It's nice.
Yes.
You know. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I read the e-book, and it was I enjoyed it so.
Okay.
Anyway, to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com. where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time and from anywhere. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.